Kyle Sondland and Herbert Konings are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Security Token Show. We're coming to you from our studio in sunny Miami, Florida, and I'm your host, Herwig Konings. And of course, I'm joined by my co-host and business partner, Kyle Sondland. And for those of you who are still listening to the show on Apple Music and Spotify, you should know that we're now in video as well. It's posted on YouTube on Tuesdays alongside our audio version. And before we move into the rest of the show here, Kyle, I think it's time to share a word from this week's sponsor. This week's episode of Security Token Show is brought to you by Relio Technology Limited. It's a blockchain-enabled issuer, fund manager, and technology provider focused on eliminating the barriers to invest in, trade, and leverage exclusive real estate, private equity, and other real-world asset offerings through decentralized finance, or DeFi. The platform is driving adoption of security tokens both as an issuer and as a platform to enable other institutions to do the same. And Relio has launched its own security token offering backed by equity in the business on top of a revenue share component to give investors exposure to the upside of the clients using the Relio platform. To learn more about Relio and the RST token, check out their white paper and pitch deck today at relio.fund. That's relio.fund to learn more.
Thank you to our sponsor, Relio, for being a great sponsor of the episode and the last couple now. And now we get to kick off episode 90 of the Security Token Show. If you're a new listener, the way that we lay out our layout for the week is we're going to start with our companies of the week. This is the top two companies that caught Herwig and my eyes, and two companies that we want to highlight for doing the best work in the space. From there, we move on to top five, and these are the top five headlines that we found that we wanted to dive into in greater detail and give some context to and really go back and forth discussing what was on our minds. From there, Herwig will lead us off into the industry news segment where he breaks down some of the other great things happening in the industry, whether it's here in the U.S. institutionally or it's worldwide and other great things happening in the space. Then I will transition into the market segment talking about new security token offerings, who's fundraising, as well as the market trading update on the secondary markets. And we're finally going to close out the show with our main topic, which this week is how do tokenized stocks work? We've seen some of these public market stocks come live trading on crypto exchanges and other platforms around the world. And so we're going to break down exactly how they're structured and what that actually looks like for an investor.
But absolutely.
Very exciting stuff, Nair.
Well, then let's get into the show. Kyle, why don't you tell everybody here for episode 90, who's your company of the week?
So my company of the week is a cryptocurrency exchange called FTX. You may have heard of FTX because they've really burst onto the scene hard recently. And FTX, if you don't know, really focuses on leveraged trading. And essentially what that means is allowing yourself to get additional exposure to an investment that you make by taking out leverage or getting three or four times the trading that you would actually do on a traditional equity product. This is similar to a derivative product of these different trading assets. And they really have provided a platform that traders around the world love to use. They're now up to $20 billion a day in trading volume. That's three times what we've seen from Coinbase over the same period, with only 2% of the users. So FTX is still a pretty niche platform because it's exclusive to US investors, so only international can use it. But they do have, I guess, a small little US-based exchange that they've launched recently. And FTX is my company of the week this week because they're pioneering this tokenized stock concept. We're going to talk about exactly really how that's structured, but essentially FTX is allowing any international investors to buy fractionalized shares of up to 25 different securities and stocks specifically, including GameStop, Tesla, Airbnb, Apple. These things are trading 24/7, so you're not trading on the 9-to-4 markets. And you can get up to 1/100th of a share of any of these tokens. You don't have Robinhood shutting down the trading for your GameStop stock. You can trade it 24/7 on FTX. And they've been getting a lot of press coverage for it, driving adoption towards tokenizing stocks. And for that reason, they win my company of the week this week.
That's a great choice, Kyle. Obviously, we're going to get into it, as you said, later for the main topic. Extremely relevant. And I believe you did a similar nomination for Binance for the same reason.
Absolutely.
It's a great way to expose people to security tokens. As you said, some great benefits there, fractional ownership, 24/7 trading, and not to mention the fact that it's not easy for everybody. You know, for us, it's easier in the United States to access U.S. stocks like GameStop and Tesla, but it's not so easy for international investors. So FTX there is a perfect conduit to enabling that new tokenized security token trading capability. So again, yeah, great choice.
They made waves here in Miami as well because they just reached naming rights for the Miami Heat's stadium. It's now going to be the FTX Arena starting next season. So the first cryptocurrency platform to sponsor a major sports league or sports stadium rather. And this is exciting stuff for sure.
That's huge. Welcome to Miami, FTX.
And how about you, Herwig? What's your company of the week?
Well, I'm happy to get into my company here. It's a company called Seer Networks. Those in the crypto community may be aware of it. They've been touting a couple of weeks now that they're going to be doing a public sale for their Seer tokens through three different platforms, through the Republic crowdfunding portal that we know here in the United States that helps power Reg CF offerings and other compliant exemptions here in the United States. And they're also going to be using MakerDAO as well as PokerStarter a little bit later. But the news here is from last week, which they were targeting a $26 million total raise. And on Republic, they managed to sell out within, according to the company, 35 minutes, Kyle. 35 minutes across a little over 2,500 investors, exclusive to accredited investors here in the United States. The average Joe and Sally could not participate, but internationally they could, and they managed to raise a boatload of money very, very quickly. And that is why they won my company of the week, because they proved that even doing a compliant offering with everyone KYC'd, with everyone verified and qualified, you can still raise money very, very quickly and properly for what could be a security token, what could be a compliant offering. In this case, it was even done just through Republic. So I think it's a great feat for both companies, and specifically for Seer, very promising. Congratulations. You win my company of the week.
Congrats to Seer. Love that they're taking a compliant approach to the fundraising process. We've come a long way since the 2016 to 2017 era of just taking money from anybody and figuring it out later. So awesome week from, awesome job from Seer, and excited to see what happens from that platform.
Agreed. Well, with that, Kyle, let's get into the top five things that you need to know.
Let's do it. So moving into our top five news segments this week, the first headline that we want to break into, Herwig, is that Gary Gensler has officially been approved to be the SEC chairman. So as we talked about here on the show many times, the former chairman of the SEC, Jay Clayton, stepped down following the end of the presidential term, which is, as we understand, is customary, and the new president then selects who their choice is for the head of the SEC. And Gary Gensler has now been approved by the Senate and is officially now the chairman. It's been rumored for months, but it had to go through that process. And this is a pretty big headline because Gary Gensler is somebody that's been very pro-blockchain and crypto in the past, so much so that he's taught multiple courses on blockchain at MIT, which is one of the top engineering schools here in the United States. And he's dedicated to building a sustainable environment for blockchain and the development of technology in capital markets. So this is a really big deal, I think. We expected this to go through, but good for U.S. capital markets, I'd say.
Congratulations to Gary Gensler, and much needed now as the SEC can kind of, you know, in that little limbo period as they've been waiting for this nomination to occur, and they can focus on what is expected to be a new agenda, of course, under a new term. We did see in the last term that Jay Clayton said that all stocks could one day become tokenized. And given that our new commissioner here has an even better understanding of blockchain technology, given what you just mentioned about his MIT experience, I think it's definitely, as you said, positive for the markets. We saw some inference of how he acted under the CFTC chair position under the Obama administration back in the day as well. And before that, he was with Goldman Sachs, where he was a partner with the mergers and acquisitions group, as well as a bunch of other positions within the company. So he's got a very good understanding of capital markets. And we've seen from here and there that we expect him to be relatively pro-blockchain. It can't be said for sure. And that he's also very focused on the capital markets. The GameStop fiasco is a big, you know, thing on their radar right now to figure out how they're going to manage this market volatility and some of the issues that occurred through that, as well as the fact that he's also focused on ESG and making it better for capital markets to work with, to foster ESG opportunities and things like that.
So, yeah. So we know that there's, the SEC is not going to do some 180 degree change and allow for full DeFi of everything and, permissionless trading, all this ridiculousness. But, they're going to take a pretty compliant stance. But I think that we can be excited that they're going to be pro blockchain and open to some of the new advancements and developments, because the reality is that the current structure and system is just not suited for what we're looking for from an industry and from a financial system at all. And I think that transitions pretty well into point number two about another SEC commissioner with some plans to help drive the markets forward.
Absolutely. I mean, the big question that we're going to be looking at now is XRP case. Is this going to now change under new leadership and what can happen there? And to your point, we've been yearning for some kind of a digital asset framework or clarity, and that's what number two that you need to know. Hester Pierce, Commissioner Hester Pierce, one of the other five members of the SEC, has come out with a version 2.0 of her safe harbor framework for digital assets. And so actually back in, I believe it's 2020, she came out in February and said, version one, we need some kind of way for ICO projects and utility token projects to create some kind of path towards decentralization without needing to register as a security and adhere to the securities rules. And so this safe harbor, which is designed to then basically give cover to the issuers and the entrepreneurs who are developing these quote unquote utility projects, it would give them 3 years of cover where they would then have to prove that they had reached some kind of network maturity, as she defines it, to show true decentralization, or otherwise, of course, expect registration with the SEC. And so this is, of course, something that would help the industry move forward tremendously, because it creates that digital asset framework, that clarity within the United States, at least temporarily, for ICOs looking to cut and reach that, true utility status, as we've seen now in question with the Ripple case around XRP.
Yeah, we've seen with regulators around the world how there's been this really beneficial piece known as a sandbox, a regulatory sandbox, that essentially allows companies to work under the watchful eye of the regulators while still being able to experiment a little bit, be able to push the boundaries of what the rules say, because oftentimes the rules don't explicitly describe a lot of the technological changes that we've been seeing in the internet age.
That's
and
right.
So, Singapore has been a leader in this space, developing a full regulatory climate where issuers can be approved and then they graduate after a year or 2 years after government there can take a look and make sure things are going well. And so in the US, we haven't seen anything like that except for what's being proposed here by Hester Pierce. And so essentially, she, as you mentioned, published her thoughts on this in, I guess, a year ago now, received feedback from the community, both from the pro-blockchain and from the crypto community that maybe wanted her to be even more expansive, but more specifically getting feedback from those that are maybe more conservative, giving her feedback on how that they can, structure something that will be productive while still not necessarily being too flexible and allowing things to happen in a crazy or unsustainable way. And so some of the developments for 2.0 that she just published include semi-annual disclosures and a full block explorer. And really what this means is that a company that's approved for this safe harbor, which as you mentioned would be a 3-year period where you would not be prosecuted from a regulatory perspective on whether you were trading an investment contract or not. And that's really what this comes down to. Is your asset a security or like a stock, anything like that? Or is it a commodity? Is it something that could be traded without needing a level of investment expertise or anything like that, right? And so these companies approved for this safe harbor would need semi-annual disclosures talking exactly about what they're doing, how they're performing, keeping everybody up to date, as well as a block explorer, which allows the SEC or the government to track on the blockchain what's exactly happening. So essentially they could audit this platform or any platform accepted at any time to make sure that these things are happening sustainably. Then the other big thing was that they needed legal counsel, or any firm would need legal counsel that explains the exit opportunity. The idea idea here is saying, okay, after this 3-year grace period, what's your plan? Are you just going to leave this 3-year period and be caught with your pants down and have no idea about what your platform is doing? Or do you have a structured way that you think this is really going to allow you to get to the point of sufficient decentralization or any of these different, you know, legal jargony terms that have been used in the past? So those are two important pieces that she's added. The other cool thing about it is that she actually posted the 2.0 framework on GitHub, which is the largest forum for developers and for the tech side of people. So it's cool to show that she's not just kind of pushing this out as a legal thing. She's really trying to connect with the community. And between her and Gensler, 2 out of 5, very, very pro-blockchain, pro-development of capital markets. It's exciting stuff.
We'll see. That's the big question. Will Gensler and the rest of the committee adopt something like this? Remember, this is just her proposal of a safe harbor. This is not, in fact, any kind of proposal by the SEC or anything like that. So we'll wait and see to see how the SEC actually ends up reacting to this version 2 of the proposal.
Absolutely.
Now let's move into number 3. Société Générale, one of the largest banks in the world out of France, has yet again created history in the security token space. Back in 2019, they launched the first tokenized bond by an institution that's actually on Ethereum. And back in 2020, they did a second bond. The first one, I believe, was a 100 million euro bond. The second bond in 2020, they actually settled with a central bank digital currency created by the Bank of France, the central bank. So that, again, another novelty proving the full capability of blockchain-based securities. And now, finally, they have officially launched a structured financial product. So not quite a bond, but actually a full investment product that people can go and buy, it was, I believe, for about 5 million euros. And more impressively, through their partnership or through their subsidiary, I should say, with Forge, which is their security token arm, they actually made it so that this structured product can interface with the SWIFT banking network, which is definitely no easy feat to bring the old world into the new. And it's worth mentioning, Kyle, I think, as well, that this project was built using the Tezos blockchain. So previously, and Societe Generale has been open about this, that they were testing Ethereum, but they're testing other solutions too. And in this case, they did this latest one on the Tezos blockchain.
That's fascinating stuff. I think that Societe Generale has really been a pioneer in the tokenization space, really leading the way for other investment banks to follow suit and showing the real benefits of blockchain. As you said, this is not their first rodeo. This is a public offering, which is fantastic. Very, very exciting stuff. They also announced that they're going to be launching a professional service for clients that they're going to be launching alongside Forge in 2022 to potentially replicate this process for other issuers, other people looking
That's
to get
huge.
Involved. This is very, very exciting stuff. This is no bank to sleep on, and they're really driving adoption of the industry. Fantastic stuff from Societe Generale.
Totally agree, Kyle. Now let's get into number 4, Equisafe. What are they up to?
So Equisafe is a blockchain platform. They're launching a bunch of projects, but they made headlines for launching a secondary market. They're launching Equisafe Markets, also out of France. And so they didn't give us a ton of details on this, aside from that they're launching with a real estate operator called Carthaga. And Carthaga is a real estate operator that has, I think, a bunch of real estate in Tunisia. And alongside that, they're going to be tokenizing their deal. I think it's equity in Carthaga that will be trading on Equisafe Markets sometime in the near future. This is very exciting stuff. Another security token trading platform coming up. France, again, showing that it's making serious moves in the blockchain space.
And another token being listed and trading soon. Also extremely exciting. And worth mentioning that this platform also was built on the Tezos blockchain. It is a blockchain-based secondary market developed by Equisafe. So very, very exciting. We'll be able to track those transactions and bring them onto security token market as well.
To my knowledge, the first Tezos exchange that's trading secondary security tokens. So
that's
very
big.
Exciting stuff.
Very big. Now, for number 5, the hot topic we all love to discuss here is Coinbase. And Coinbase has officially IPO'd. They made waves and history across the entire world. Everybody took notice, which was a great thing, as many see this act as a big solidification, a big legitimization of cryptocurrency and the blockchain industry. And that's a big deal, because actually one of the things that we know is potentially on the horizon. They've been prepared. They've got multiple broker-dealer subsidiaries with the right licenses in order to do this, is to also enable tokenized stock trading and security token trading. So we already know that they custody several different security tokens with their custody arm as well. They've invested in leading issuance platform Securitize with Coinbase Ventures. And now that they're public, they are having big ambitions, and baked into their big valuation is the idea and potential that they will start to enter into the rest of the capital markets with their platform as well. And that is exciting news. We don't know when, but it probably is inevitable.
Fascinating stuff here. They mentioned in a, you know, Ask Me Anything led by Brian Armstrong, the CEO, and some of his other executives that they had explored potentially doing a security token offering, felt the infrastructure wasn't quite there to facilitate what they were looking for. Understandable, because it's still very, very early, but something we wish that we could have seen for sure. But yeah, Coinbase looks like they're really going to be getting involved, and certainly this is a massive step towards legitimacy for the blockchain industry. We also saw it was followed by a sell-off in some Bitcoin and other crypto assets as more institutional platforms looking to, you know, get exposure into the Bitcoin industry, maybe want to invest in some of Coinbase's equity instead of just buying Bitcoin itself. So that's kind of an interesting topic to watch. But tokenized stocks, man, we now see Coinbase listed on FTX as well as Binance. It's going to be very interesting to see how the tokenized stock trades to the IPO, the one on the actual stock market here on NASDAQ.
The case. And, you know, we do see a lot of platforms and exchanges develop their own kind of token, rewarding you to some of the profits, such as the Binance token or the T0 token in the United States. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a Coinbase security token for revenue share one day, too. We can only speculate, but we'll be sure to keep you up to date on anything related to security tokens and Coinbase. But for now, those are the top five things that you need to know from last week. With that, Kyle, let's get into the news.
Go for it.
Kicking off our news cycle this week is Convergence Finance, which is a startup that is bringing together assets with real-life use cases and DeFi features by enabling wrapped security tokens to be traded through an automated market maker pool, much like with Uniswap. So to dumb this down for you, Convergence, they've actually created an ecosystem where algorithms will automatically enable the liquidity of a specific asset or security token by pairing it then with another asset and incentivizing contributors to that pool to stake the liquidity of that pool with their own asset in exchange for the fees that the seller is willing to pay for liquidity. So it's a fascinating use case given that traditional investors, they would need to go through a firm or multiple middlemen like a centralized marketplace to find that liquidity, driving up the cost and slowing down the speed of the overall transaction, which of course also adds to the overall cost. So, Convergence has developed a four-part decentralized ecosystem to enable this capability, which they've been able to develop using the $2 million round that they actually announced a few months ago. And now that they are officially in testnet, it means that they are inviting ecosystem participants to check it out and offer their own feedback. So, congratulations to Convergence. Let's see how your DeFi solution is received by the security token industry. And next up, we have news from Australia. The National Australian Bank has conducted a test pilot with a central bank digital currency, and the results are promising, so much so that they are actually urging the Reserve Bank of Australia, that's the central bank there, to consider applying this technology to the Australian dollar and broadening the research study that they conducted together alongside Commonwealth Bank and Consensus. So as director at NAB, Lisa Wade said, quote, "If we don't start building CBDC, people will use alternative mechanisms. And I personally would rather see stable and secure tokens." She actually further said, quote, "Tokenized money contains a program that can talk to other assets. The smart contract inside the token is the important thing to allow the conversation to happen between the money and the asset. And that is what will create programmable finance, and that is what we are interested in," end quote. And that's an eloquent way to put it. And that doesn't make you excited about the future of this industry. I don't know what does. And now we can expect more innovation from Australia, given that this advocacy from some of the country's biggest banks. And moving on, we saw an announcement from Resolute Capital Partners. They're a private equity placement firm specializing in real estate, technology, and energy projects. And it's actually based out of San Francisco, Dallas, and Minneapolis. So over the last decade, they've actually placed more than $230 million into various projects, which makes it a big deal when they announced Vertalo as their new investor management solution, handling everything from onboarding investors to data record keeping services. And that marks yet another financial firm that's digitizing their business. So this trend cannot be stopped. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see some security token projects now from Resolute Capital Partners next. And we also saw an announcement last week from the first security token marketplace in London called Archax. So they've partnered up with North Row to improve their onboarding services for investors coming onto the security token platform. So these compliance checks are also known as KYC and AML. They stand for Know Your Customer and Anti-Money Laundering. These checks are regulations that need to be enforced to ensure that Archax knows who is investing on their marketplace and to make sure that nothing illicit is being introduced into the ecosystem. So both firms say that thanks to their partnership, they can meet these requirements without having to compromise on the user experience, which sometimes can be pretty painful when it comes to checking identity. And this new partnership must mark one step closer as well for the impending Archax launch. And one final announcement from Fanmin here we saw, the new platform that is focused on creating investment opportunities in film and game studios, esports organizations, athletes, and sport leagues, as well as artists and entertainers and social media personalities. Fanmin only recently launched as a joint venture by U.S. broker-dealer Tritorian Capital and U.S. crowdfunding portal Akimona. But their partnership enables full capability and compliance to perform all types of private offerings here in the United States. And now, in order to reach Europe, Fanmin has partnered with Black Manta Capital Partners, which is one of the leading European crowdfunding portals for security token offerings. This means future STOs from Fanmin could be distributed across the United States and Europe, which is an exciting expansion of reach for the platform. They are expected to go live this quarter, so we'll be sure to let you know when they have their first offerings ready. And to round up our new segment, I have two resource articles for you. The first is the 14th edition of Peter Gaffney's Tokenize This series, which features a new tokenization use case each week. And this week, Peter, who is, by the way, part of the team at Security Token Advisors, he talks about the novel use case of tokenized video games. So, similar to his previous article, actually, about YouTube streaming, Peter specifically addresses the potential of security tokens and video game streaming. So, by creating a way of fans to invest in the upside of the streamer, whether it be from their sponsors and advertising, or maybe even possibly, you know, e-game victories, they could create a stronger bond between community and the athlete or the gamer. So I'm not sure which is the proper terminology there, but great job, Peter, as always. I'm sure a lot of people will check this one out on our blog, and maybe we'll see the first gamer token soon. And the last article I have for you all this week is on Crowdfund Insider. So it's titled, Oh My God, Our NFT Securities. And it's authored by Howard Marks, who's the CEO of Start Engine, which is a popular crowdfunding portal in the US. And he says that NFTs may well be securities using the case of Nifty Gateway and Beeple. So we saw Commissioner Hester Peace actually also recently outlined what would make NFTs a security at the Security Token Summit. So if you're in the space, be careful and make sure you get good legal counsel. And that's all the rest of the news that I've got for you from last week. Now let's go over to Kyle and get the latest STO and market updates.
Our first security token launch comes from Bridge Tower Capital, who has officially launched a security token offering to sell shares of equity in the company. Now, Bridge Tower Capital is a global tokenized private equity firm focused on early to mid-stage growth companies and provides financial, operational, talent acquisition, and marketing support. The firm also launched a staking product that has grown to more than $60 million in assets after just 2 months of operation. Bridge Tower does seem to be acutely familiar with the blockchain space and is looking to raise up to $200 million through its security token offering. Now, partners include Securitize, Black Manta Capital Partners, Archax, and many other familiar faces, so you should pay attention to this high-profile offering. And next up is Dignity Gold, a firm looking to launch a gold-backed digital token. The firm just announced that it has secured a pledge for $6 billion in gold that's going to be able to back the reserve for the issuance of this asset. As of March 26th of this year, it was represented by 3.4 million ounces of gold reserves. The firm has secured purchase agreements with large gold holders in addition to futures contracts with mining facilities with billions in resources yet to mine. The U.S.-based issuer will list its future token under the ticker DIGAU and is going to be working with Tritarian Capital as its broker-dealer through this process. And our final security token offering is driving a great cause, and we're talking about the Libra Project, which is a closed-end fund looking to build a global network of renewable energy plants across South and Southeast Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. The firm is looking to raise capital to sustainably invest in green energy, including through solar, wind, hydro, geothermal, and other sources of sustainable energy investments. The firm was recently recognized as the first company to publicly register as a digital security under the Abu Dhabi Global Market, the ADGM, and is now preparing to launch a security token for U.S. investors as well in partnership again with Tritarian Capital. The Libra Project will be driving adoption of sustainable energy and is an innovator in using a security token to fund that process and increase access to investment into this very important industry for investors worldwide. You should definitely check this one out and do your own research at LibraProject.com. And with our first piece of market news, we have Antoine Tardif from Securities.io breaking down Blockchain Capital's newest Q1 financial disclosure. As a reminder, BCAP raised $10 million for a security token offering backed by their blockchain-targeted investment fund, with each token selling for $1 a share. The firm now has an estimated NAV of nearly $23 a share, with success not coming only from Coinbase, but from a successful Series C from Anchorage, a rumored 2022 direct listing from Kraken, and the success of OpenSea in the NFT space. The tokens still don't have that much liquidity on secondary markets as they're trading on Open Finance, but they do currently trade around $15 for a share. We also have a nice asset analysis of the Overstock Digital Dividend by Mark Pruvelich, who breaks down the history behind the digital dividend and what the security token represents from an underlying asset perspective. It's a short overview, but I'd recommend you check that one out as well if you're interested in the industry. And if you made it this far into the show, I do have an Ask STM question for all of you listeners. In the comments section of wherever you're listening to this episode, comment your predictions for the final raise amount for INX. The high-profile exchange is raising money through a security token offering. We've covered that here on the show before. And the fundraise closes this Thursday, April 22nd. The closest guest will get a shout-out on next week's show, so that's always cool. And our final market update comes from iStocks, who has announced a newly trading token on their exchange. The Astria 4 Class A2 bonds pay a coupon of 3.25% yield and are rated single A by Fitch, while they also have Class B bonds that pay 4.25% yield and were rated triple B, also by Fitch. The manager of these bonds is Temasek, and their $1.5 billion portfolio that's backing the bonds is cash flowed from a diversified mature portfolio of 35 private equity funds managed by 28 globally reputable GPs, including names like Blackstone, KKR, TPG, Permira, Silver Lake, Carlyle, and Bain. The Class A bonds mature in 5 years and the Class B mature in 10 years. So I really would love to see what these are trading at, but unfortunately the data is still restricted from this exchange due to the regulations. So I'm updating that as soon as I can for sure. Now we can move into our secondary market trading segment. And as always, all news and pricing data is sourced from stomarket.com. So you can log on there, see the prices. The total STO market cap this week was about $623 million, down about 1% from last week. We really haven't seen a ton of action from the markets this week as T0's tokens held relatively flat, a bit of a dip there, but there were some strong jumps from a few of the real T assets with Apolline, Ledger, and Autobahn all up double digits. However, the real headline this week is that we were able to add trading Binance tokenized stocks to security token market. We are officially tracking both Coinbase and Tesla, which are available to international investors on the Binance platform. The tokens are settled in Binance's own stablecoin, and the shares are traded during normal US market hours. We're going to break down exactly how those things work in the main topic, but it will be fascinating to see how these assets trade compared to their public market versions. We've covered this before with Overstock in the past. With these tokenized stocks, it is important to remember that they are pretty much derivatives of the trading asset. They don't actually represent ownership in the company, but it will still be interesting as an indicator to see where these public values move and where the different company shares are from different exchanges. As of right now, both are trading at a slight discount to the public market assets, but each did see over $1 million in trading volume in just the last 24 hours, which is a great sign for industry interest and appetite for these assets, hopefully driving more demand for the security token space. I'm looking forward to bringing you more updates on these assets soon and hopefully more assets altogether that we've got in the works. But that's all that I have for another exciting week in the markets. Definitely do your own research and hit me up on Twitter to send me all of your hot takes about where you're putting your money these days. I want to hear it all. And with that, let's move into our main topic, talking about tokenized stocks. What are they? How do they work? Let's dig into it.
And moving into the main topic this week, we're going to be talking to you about how tokenized stocks actually work and their benefits. Now, earlier this episode, Kyle, you gave FTX your company of the week for doing exactly that, tokenizing over 25 different stocks, making it possible for international investors to trade through the FTX crypto platform, tokenized versions of GameStop, Tesla, Coinbase, and many, many other popular stocks. So Kyle, let's get into it. Let's tell our users exactly what are tokenized stocks.
Well, I think tokenized stocks come from this idea of not everyone around the world having access to the traditional stock market. Certainly, we've seen how the stock market has caught all of the headlines with all of these crazy movements in the traditional markets. And I think the more people want access to it. So security tokens allow for access to that through creating derivatives of these publicly traded stocks that anyone around the world could be able to invest in, which comes with a lot of benefits. Obviously, if you're on FTX, you've got 24/7 trading, which is revolutionary when you look at the stock market that only trades 9-4. People in crypto have gotten very accustomed to trading 24/7 with all of their cryptos. Why can't we do that for the traditional stock market, especially for somebody trading in Asia or in Europe or somewhere where that time zone doesn't really make sense?
Even California, they gotta get up pretty early.
Yeah, exactly. So on top of that, we've got instant settlement, which really provides that infrastructural upgrade that we've seen that's caused some serious issues in the traditional markets. That really can allow for firms to actually settle their ledger, figure out exactly who owns what right away to be able to deal with some of those underlying problems. On top of that, we talked about international access. And this is big, not only just for more people to be able to buy and sell, but this is more liquidity that gets pumped into the system, more people that can buy and sell these shares, which results in more liquidity and presumably higher prices for a lot of these different assets.
One of the other cool things that you did mention earlier as well with FTX is that they're enabling you to actually invest in a fraction of a share.
Yeah.
We saw Robinhood as well do this in the United States, but again, that's built on an old school infrastructure, not using any blockchain. In this case, FTX is using the blockchain in order to do exactly that, fractional ownership for investors around the world to be able to now invest easily into stocks like Tesla, which are several hundred dollars at a time, which converted into some currencies is pretty much nearly unreachable for certain people unless tools like fractional ownership enable them the access to the stock.
Absolutely. Just increasing liquidity, just making it more accessible for anyone around the world to buy and sell. It makes total sense. And from Binance and FTX's perspective, they're doing millions of trading volume across all their listed assets already. This is still a pretty new concept.
Now, how is Binance and FTX, how are they pulling something off like this? We know in the past that some other people have tried to do something similar, and sometimes the SEC came after them and shut them down. Obviously, these two multi-billion dollar exchanges have the resources and the breadth to figure it out. Kyle, tell us, how do they make it work?
Well, you know, when we were talking about dealing with the SEC, the first thing that both of these did, and we hinted at this earlier, is that they don't allow U.S. investors to participate. Unfortunately, with the U.S. jurisdiction being so, you know, constricting on some of these opportunities, that's the big one. The SEC doesn't really care that much about international trading as much as they care about protecting U.S. investors. So that's the first step. And once they get past that, they have a lot more opportunity. But the way that these tokenized stocks work is that you have a private fund manager that essentially they're based out of Germany in both cases here, but it could be somewhere else for another exchange that potentially launches a similar service. And this private fund manager essentially just buys up shares on the public markets and then is able to issue that derivative to Binance and manage that ledger on their behalf. So Binance is essentially trading, or FTX or any of these platforms, essentially trading a mirrored share to what this private holding company is actually managing on their behalf.
That's right. It's, as you said, a mirror, a derivative. It is not actually the Tesla or Coinbase stock trading itself.
You have no voting rights.
That's
nothing
right.
Like that.
And that's actually why you don't see a supply or a market cap or anything like that on these websites. They're just trading, again, a mirrored product of it. So it's a fascinating use case. Again, the difference being is that they can leverage all of the benefits of blockchain technology, instant settlement, 24/7 access, easier international access, and fractional ownership, all because the derivative itself is tokenized. And that's why we can expect a lot more of this to happen in the future. I think we're going to see more cryptocurrency exchanges try to do something similar. And I think we're going to see a lot more competition from the old school, from the traditional marketplaces now say, hey, we may now be forced to kind of enable more blockchain-based solutions because otherwise everyone's going to go and trade on Binance.
Yeah, this is really like digitizing capital markets, right? Providing some of that facelift to the front-end infrastructure and some of the back end. We're getting there. It's not a security token. As we talked about, it's a mirrored asset, so you don't get the self-custody benefits and some of these other opportunities. But there are some cool potential things to look forward to in the future.
That's right.
That Herwig, you and I were talking about in detail before.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you could use your Apple stock and stake that because it's so valuable and people are willing to let you collateralize against it or use it out for a loan or use it in other kind of DeFi protocols and projects, right? Once it's enabled to kind of be in your own personal custody, you can go ahead and take it to these different financial services and solutions. And that's also very exciting. But of course, given the fact that they are still tokenized stock that's traded in public markets here in the United States, which means they're governed by the SEC, those partnerships would still have to enforce all the right compliance measures to make sure that's possible. But we do believe that is absolutely possible so that you can, again, use your Apple stock to now go ahead and take out a loan instantly, just like we saw actually in the example of Jonah Shulman's newsletter, What's Drippin', the security token market newsletter. He did give that example earlier. You need to go and buy something on a holiday for Christmas. Guess what? Wall Street's going to be closed, but FTX won't be. So you can go ahead and cash out your Apple stock and go ahead and buy your mom that sweet gift. So those are some of the exciting future capabilities beyond what's already being brought to the table, I think, by FTX and Binance, which I do believe is already novel and innovative.
Absolutely, yeah. Collateralized lending is cool because you could certainly sell. The 24/7 markets are exciting, but this idea of collateralized lending is neat because you don't necessarily have to sell. You could be long on a position. You could have some Amazon shares that you don't necessarily want to sell, but you need some liquidity, or you need some cash in the meantime. So you could essentially take a couple $1,000 worth of your stock, put it into a protocol, and be able to get that cash out. And then once you pay that cash, you get your stock back at whatever that price that you determined from the beginning. So you still get to experience the upside of those shares as long as you were able to pay back the collateral and the loan that you actually took out without actually needing to sell it. We've all had those situations, maybe some of you even with Bitcoin or some of these other things where it's like, oh, I sold too early, but I need the liquidity. So these opportunities are pretty cool. And it may also force the traditional players, as you mentioned, to have to upgrade. We see aftermarket trading happening now a little bit. Some of these platforms are allowing more than just the 9-to-4 or some of these other opportunities. We'll have to see how the traditional financial service providers have to upgrade in order to stay competitive against some of these other options.
Absolutely. As they say in tech, the genie is out of the bottle. So we'll see where we go from here. And with that, Kyle, I think we can wrap up our show this week. I want to thank you all for listening or watching, for those of you who are tuning into our YouTube series now. And of course, we want to remind you that everything we talk about here on the show, it's sourced from stomarket.com/news. You can go and read all the articles we talk about there, or go check out the trading pricing of all of these different tokens that Kyle mentioned on his segments as well. And of course, as a reminder, we do have our Clubhouse event every week on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's where Kyle and I, we break down the show with a lot of other guests, including CEOs from other issuance companies, other issuers in the space, exchanges, lawyers, and many more. Come and ask questions, come hang out, and come to, you know, take part in the second half, if you will, of the podcast.
Absolutely. It's a great time, and thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.